Hi, I'm Clemens Vasters, and today I'm going to talk to you about the Windows Azure authorization for Service Bus using the Access Control Service. I'm on the Service Bus team. I'm a technical lead. What that is a PM with a little bit of technology strategy job. And I've been on the Service Bus team for several years. And this session specifically is a session that we wanted to do for a long time. We're now doing that for, in the context of Build, as kind of an extension to the session 862 that has been recorded at Build. We're recording this today before the Build conference. And so the topic is how do you set up access control, the access control service, to do authorization on the Service Bus service? For the longest time, it appeared as if there was a very simplistic security model on the Service Bus service. What we've done, what we're doing now, is effectively give you a little bit of tooling and also explain to you how the new access control service that Service Bus now federates with can be used to provide very fine-grained access control and also allows you to create a lot of accounts onto your access control instance that's federated with Service Bus. So to do that, I'm going to go and switch to the deck. And so that's what we're talking about, Service Bus. As I said, this is kind of an extension of the sessions that you will find in the recordings for Build and also other sessions on Service Bus that you can find around Channel 9 and also on in other places on the web. Service Bus is this infrastructure that provides you connectivity, messaging, and will provide you more service management and down the road also integration capabilities. To start, we're going to first talk about the Access Control Service and go through quickly through the general model of the Access Control Service as it is inside of Windows Azure, and what the job of that Access Control Service is to set the stage, to be clear around how the model works for Service Bus. So first of all, the client goes and walks up to an identity provider providing its credentials. That works in various ways. You have identity providers like Facebook and Windows Live ID, where you're doing so-called passive federation, which means you walk up to a web page. The web page then redirects you to Windows Live or to Facebook, and you provide your credentials there. And then you're redirected back to the client and then onwards to a security token service like the Access Control Service. Or you have a so-called active model where you walk up to your identity provider, let's say, an STS provided, for instance, by Active Directory, and then provide your credentials there. What you're getting in either case, and depending on what your mode is, you're getting an identity token back. And the identity token basically says who you are and contains some additional information about you. And that information is called claims. And those claims are contained in that token, and that token is digitally signed by the identity provider. And then the client gets that back, and the client then sends that identity token plus a request for a realm to which it wants to have access to the access control service in the federation case. The access control service then checks whether it knows that realm. We're going to get to that in a moment. And we'll check whether that identity token is from an identity provider that it knows and it trusts. And if that's the case, then it's going to take a look into the identity token and runs a set of rules over that identity token, seeing whether it can map those to a set of output rules. And if it can, it will go and issue then an access token to the client. And the access token is issued for a particular realm, for a particular audience, and that audience is a service, so the client knows ahead of time what service it wants to talk to, tells in step three here the access control service what that audience is. The access control service does a lookup in the rule store for that. And then as the client does its request, it provides that access token with that request. And then the service can go and validate whether the access token is correct. and will then be able to go and let that operation happen if the rights expressed inside that access token are matching the desired rights, the needed rights on the service. So that's the general model for the access control service. So you generally have the notion of this identity provider, you generally have that notion of this rule mapping notion, of this rule mapping model where you take the input token and map it to an output token that then becomes the access control token for the service. A little more specialized model in ACS are service identities, where you don't have an identity provider per se, but you have a simpler model where you don't have identity federation, but you just use the access control service itself as kind of a username and password mechanism. So the ACS service is providing that as well. So the client goes with credentials instead of an identity token and a request for rights on a particular realm to the access control service. And the access control service then evaluates the rules after it has established that the credentials are correct. Then again, issues an access token and then sends that back to the client, and the client forwards that onto the service. So it's a simpler model, but inside the access control service, kind of the difference between the identity provider and the rules is still preserved in the way that there's a notion inside of the access control service that you will also see bubbling up through into the security model of service bus is that a credential, a service identity, really is treated as an issuer, as its own kind of identity provider. And so that's why you get the nomenclature of issuer name and issuer key in the system. So, and then, of course, the same model applies here, where you provide an access token, the access token can then be evaluated. Now, there's a relationship between the access control service and the service, and that relationship is established by ways of a key. And there's also nomenclature about the relationship between those things. So the service generally relies on ACS, and in the more general case, relies on an STS security token service that ACS is. So the service relies on ACS to provide access control tokens. So it effectively delegates the decisions about coarse grained authorization to the access control service itself. The access control service deals with identities, and it basically issues tokens that may carry identity, but really are all about authorization. The way the validation happens is that they share a key. So the access control service knows of a particular key that also the service knows, and that key is shared between them, and that key is not known to the client. So the access control service will now go, and whenever it issues a token to the service by ways of the client, this access token, will sign that token with that shared key that's bound to the service realm, so a URI. And then with that, as the service receives the token, it can go and look up whether the signature is actually matching the signature with the key that it knows, and with that, the two have a trust relationship, and the tokens can be validated. ACS, on its side, maintains one or more rule groups for mapping incoming identities for each relying party, and that defines the mapping between identities and issued authorization claims. We'll go through this in a demo that comes a little later. To show you all details about this. One little detail in ACS that's important and interesting is that ACS is using a longest prefix match model to find the matching relying party definitions for any token request. So if you are creating relying parties in ACS, you can actually stack them into a hierarchy. And so in the simplest case, again, you're going to see that in the demo later, I just want to give you the basics here. What that gives you is a way to form a hierarchy of relying party definitions where, based on the realm URI you pass in, it's going to pick the next closest relying party definition. there's no inheritance between these relying party definitions, but there's a hierarchy stacking, and that's the basis for the authorization model, the security model that we have in service bus, because service bus has a hierarchical model, as you'll see in a moment. So the way those two things play together is by ways of the service bus namespace. So if you have a namespace, I have, for instance, clementsv.servicebus.windows.net. That's my own namespace in the production system. I have a naming tree that's going off that, and I can go and structure that naming tree as I like. The notion here is that it's an infinite depth naming tree, right? Factually, it's constrained, obviously, so there's 32 segments, 450 characters path limit at this time. And the basic notion is that all names that can exist do exist, and you can prove that to yourself by navigating to the namespace. If you go and hit in the browser HTTPS and then your own namespace.servicebus.windows.net, you will find a feed, and as you go and add segments to that URL, you will find that there's always a feed present. So all names that you can imagine, they all do exist already. And so you always get a service registry feed at that point. And the notion is that from the management perspective, you can go and now place entities into a name in the namespace, at the leaves. So in this case here in the picture, we have Baz and B and G, H, I, and D, E, F. These are leaves, these are entities, may they be queues, may they be topics, may they be relay connection points or relay points. And so you can go and place those entities into the namespace as you like. Any branch of the system, any individual node can then be secured individually with ACS. And that's fairly similar to the notion of a file system, where you have the inheritance of rights that you can assign in the file system. So that's the service bus namespace. And the relationship, so how do we actually create this access control mechanism? There's a special relationship between ACS and service bus, where each service bus namespace that you provision automatically has a buddy namespace in the ACS. So if you have Clemens or Clemens V, it's clemens.serviceBus.windows.net, and then you get automatically Clemens-SB accesscontrol.windows.net provision for you. So creating a service bus namespace automatically means that you get a -SB namespace. Those -SB namespaces in the access control service are special in that they have a pre-configured relying party for the service bus namespace root that can't be deleted, and the signing key is managed by the system for you. You can't change that key, because that's a fixed federation. We don't want people to be able to just break it by accident. So we're just hiding that. And there's a default rule group inside of the system that defines rights for the service identity owner, which is kind of the super user. So if you've been playing with service bus samples so far, most of you will have used owner, and that's the pre-configured default key. And owner is kind of the super user identity on a service bus namespace. It has assigned three rights: listen, send, and manage. So listen is to be able to listen on a relay endpoint, or to receive messages from a topic, or to receive messages from a queue. Send is obviously the respective send operations. And manage is needed to go and create and delete entities from the namespace and perform some management operations like adding subscriptions to a topic. So there are some pre-configured things in the SB namespaces, but you can go and configure those SB namespaces, and that hasn't been so obvious before when we were federated with ACS V1, because ACS V1 didn't really have a portal that you could go through and configure things with. Now we can actually go and nicely visualize that with ACS V2, and you can actually go and do the security model by hand, which we're going to do in one step, and then you can also programmatically go and manage your security. We're going to do that as well. So as said, there are three different rights. service bus, a single claim type called net.windows.servicebus.action. And that has three subtypes, three values, as they're called in that language. So it's send and listen and manage. And that's what I just explained, send operations, receive operations. There's actually an error on this slide. This ought to be receive. This ought to be listen here, or receive. And then management to create or delete or otherwise change service bus entities. Now, how does that look in the conceptual world? You would imagine it looks like a file system. It actually does. So the pre-configure setup is that there's a rule group that covers the root. So there's owner. That's one of that's the pre-configured service. That pre-configured service identity has a send, a listen, and a manage claim inside of it. Associated with it. So that's a set of three rules that are applied to the owner. And the way the ACS resolves this, if you remember that picture that we had earlier on how ACS functions with the service identities, is you walk up to ACS using a fairly simple protocol. We call this OAuth wrap. That's the protocol we use today. And you pass in the owner credentials, the owner name and the owner key, and you ask for access to a particular entity on the namespace, providing its address, normalized into HTTP. And once you do this, the rules run, and then a token is issued. And in this case, the token issued will contain three claim values, and those are send, listen, and manage, because those are the three rules that are assigned to owner. So we have the URL that's here up on the screen is clemensv.servicebus.windows.net/abc/def. And so we want to go and secure that entity. So let's say that's a queue that's sitting at DEF. So one thing we can do is we can go and assign individual rights to an intermediary node where nothing else sits but just an intermediary which has subordinates. So the first thing we can do is go and assign John, a new service identity that we create. We can assign John manage permissions. What that means is that John can now go and effectively has super user rights on ABC, on that sub-branch of the service bus namespace. John doesn't have any other permissions anywhere else in the namespace, but just under that sub-branch. And now John can go and assign rights, or can go and create a new entity underneath ABC. And we're going to assign rights to that entity for Fred and Ellis and Peter. Fred and Ellis can send, and Peter can listen. So we can go and provide rights, send rights, listen rights, manage rights to individuals based on individual entities or branches of the namespace. So that's the conceptual model. There's also obviously inheritance. So the owner can send on GHI, and the owner can also listen on DEF. And so there's inheritance across the entire namespace. So if you have rights on the root, then you have rights on everything else, which is not but you can also break that inheritance chain, as you can also do in the file system, and say, no, I'm not going to opt into the inheritance. I'm going to actually break that inheritance chain right here, let's say at ABC, and not going to let anybody who has rights on the root automatically go and manage those entities over here. That will, of course, that's a thing to work on with caution, to do with caution, because it's very possible for you to actually revoke the rights for owner, for the super user, to have access to a certain branch of the namespace, at least at runtime. So that's something to be very careful about, but that's something that's always fixable by going into the access control system and to restore or fix the rules over there. In the implementation, you're implementing this on access control service. So you're creating effectively a hierarchy that's matching the hierarchy on service bus. So in the on the root, as this default rule set, and the default rule set you're using to go and manage the root of the system. So we're going to go and see that. There's a line party definition for service bus that has a default rule set assigned that has all the rights for the owner, and that's checked. That gives the owner the rights. So there's the relying party definition, and the relying party definition has, that's this, the relying party definition has an association with a rule group, and that rule group is the one that's being the root. Now we create another one, /ABC, and with that we're creating a rule group that's matching that, and also we will go and also tick, and you'll see that in the UI what I mean with tick, the default rule group, and that's how we create inheritance or opt out of inheritance. And again, ABC/GHI, we create a relying party definition. The relying party definition is subordinate, and again there we have a rule group for that, and we can go and then opt into all those into all the relying party definitions there, or the rule groups of the relying party definitions there are above us in the hierarchy. So time to go and to take a look at how that all looks in the service. So I'm looking at AppFabric Labs. We're recording this just before the build conference today. So we're just in the last steps right now of deploying the new service into the data center. So I need to show that on AppFabric Labs, but the experience is going to be very similar to what you see here. So I have a namespace defined on service bus called Clemens V2 that is federated with ACS V2. That's the difference that you will also see on the portal in the production system. The existing namespaces that you have will be federated with ACS V1 in the beginning. So ACS V1 is the previous version of the access control system that service bus has still been federating with. There will be tools, I'm going to say that later, I'm going to repeat that later. There will be tools that allow you to migrate from ACS V1 and ACS V2 and effectively switch that namespace in place from one version of ACS to the next. That's a separate discussion, and you're going to have some guidance documents and tooling that comes out on that. So, but I'm going to use Labs and just start with ACS outright. So the way you get from a namespace, you go to service bus, you go to your namespace. The way you can go and manage that namespace is access control, is you can go and select the access control portal from here, which gets you up to the portal. So now I got to go and sign in. Here we go. Now we're in the service namespace Clemens V2-SB. So that's the buddy namespace of my service bus namespace. You will find that there's one relying party application that's already defined. So let's take a look at that one. So this is the predefined one, and as you see, that's all grayed out, so you can't change that because it's fixed in the system. It's a system-supplied relying party definition. So you have name service bus, you have the realm. We're going to go and copy that to the clipboard because we're going to need that later. We have a token format that's SWT. These are simple web tokens. That's a very simple token format. It's kind of an interim format that we're using today until the standardization catches up to us, and so we're going to look to use the JSON web tokens, JWTs, in the future, but right now we're using the simple web tokens that we've defined as OAuth2 was being developed. So that's the current token format that Service Bus understands, because those tokens are issued to Service Bus. And the token lifetime by default is 1,200 seconds for those tokens. So we're not federating with any particular identity provider. You could certainly do that in here, but we don't federate with an identity provider, which means that the default configuration here is just federating ACS with itself. So that's for the service identities, which we're going to look at in a moment. And there's one rule group that we're going to look at, also going to look at in a moment. That's a default rule group for service bus that defines who can access this namespace at the root at this point. And also noteworthy is that the service namespace certificates are automatically managed for this namespace and the keys, so you can't see them, you can't manage them. We're actually, whenever they need to be rolled, we're rolling them for you. But they need to be synchronized between Service Bus and ACS, so that's all automatically managed for you. You don't have to worry about that. Let's go and take a look at the service identities. The pre-configured service identity we find is the owner. The owner has is also fixed, so you can't go and delete it, and it has a password, and it has a symmetric key. If we go and look at that password, the password is like this, and the symmetric key is like this. Now I'm showing you all the secrets. And you see that there's an effective date when that comes into effect. There's an expiration date. You can actually make keys and passwords expire. And so that's the owner identity. If you want to change the password, you could do that here. Changing the owner password, however, is something you should be very carefully consider because there are some, you could introduce some amount of inconsistency in some of in the system. So you should basically just keep that owner key very, very, very secret and to yourself. And contrary to what we've been showing you before, you should actually treat this as a secret and keep that to yourself. And instead, create new service identities, which I'm going to show you in a moment. So rule groups. So we saw the rule group associated with the service bus route. Here it is. And so, and as said, there are these claims, and the claim type is the same, NETS Windows Service Bus Action. And if we go and look at the details, there's an input claim issuer, that's the access control service, so that's using a service identity defined by access control. There's a type, that's the name identifier. So that's the name identifier that's issued by access control acting as an identity provider. So that's where the issuer nomenclature comes from. So again, if you authenticate straight, we're using a service identity with ACS. There's this two-step process where first there's an authentication stage that will practically issue a token issue a token internally. And then that token will contain a claim with a name identifier, which then carries the name of the service identity. So that's how that's all mapping. So now you say the access control service, the name identifier is owner. In that case, please issue a claim into the outbound token, which is of type net windows.servicebus.action and is of the value listen. So this is how the owner gets listen right on the namespace. If we go here, that's going to be exactly the same except for the value that's up on the bottom, that's send. And here, that will be the same also on manage. So next, what we're going to do is go back to the identity providers. Or sorry, we're first going to go to the service identities. And I'm just going to add a new identity. And I'm going to add something for myself, and I want to have a new symmetric key, and that's effective from today, and the expiration date is 1 year away, so you can go and change it if you wanted to. So we're going to go and save this. I'm also going to add, so the symmetric key is the key that we need for the simple wrap protocol that we're using today. So that's the key you need. You could also acquire on ACS tokens for Service Bus using the OAuth2 protocol, and that's perfectly possible. The only thing that Service Bus really needs is an SWT token. The way how you acquire that token is not important. So you could even walk up to ACS and do that using the proper OAuth 1.3 endpoint if you wanted to, but all the bits that we have, all the samples that we have are still wired to the OAuth wrap endpoint. So for the regular OAuth endpoint, we need to have a password, and so to keep them both in sync, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into the symmetric key, because that's also what we're going to do later. I'm going to copy this. Just to avoid any confusion, I'm going to go and create a password here and also save that. Now we have a password, we have a symmetric key. for my account. I'm going to save this. Now we have a service identity for me on this namespace, and I can create as many as I like on that namespace to create new service identities. And service identities can be constrained to just being able to send to a particular queue, just to be able to receive from a particular queue, and you can make thousands of those. So you don't have to constrain yourself all that much. You can make hundreds and thousands of those service identities. They just become a little bit difficult to manage using the portal. But if you do it programmatically, as I'll show you a little bit later, that's just perfectly fine. So next thing is let's go and take a look at the relying party applications. What I'm going to do now is, let's go back to here, where I copied that value, but then now use the clipboard again. We're going to go and create a new relying party definition. We're going to go and create a new relying party definition on this namespace. And I'm going to use the URL as the as the name. I'm going to call this Echo Service. Echo Service is our wonderful demo that we have for the relay, and have had for the longest time. So I'm just going to use that as the name, because that's a good way to remember what this was. And I'm going to go and enter all the settings manually here. I'm going to set the realm. I can ignore the returned URL. I can ignore the error URL. I'm going to say this is a SWAT, and the token lifetime is 1200. And then I'm going to uncheck the identity provider Windows Live ID, because I don't need that. And I'm going to say create a new rule group, because we want to have one for Echo Service. And just for completeness, I'm going to set the token signing key, but the system ACS, as I save the data, is not going to use that, because it's going to detect the fact that I'm creating I'm creating a subordinate, and it's going to replace the key. So we're going to see that as it happens. So I'm going to save this. Now I'm going to go back in here, and as I scroll down, you will see that now the certificates and keys are automatically managed for that namespace. So even though I have a key in here, that key is not being used, but instead we're using the key up here. So now what you see is that there's a new default rule group for the Echo Service. What we also want to do is we want to enable the default rule group for Service Bus, because that's how the owner retains rights on the Echo Service. So we're going to go and save that setup. So now we have this, and I actually have up here my Echo Service. And let's go and try this out. So I'm going to go and go into the service identities, go to the owner, and I'm going to go and get that symmetric key here. Good. I'm going to go back. And there's a service that's here. And I can go and start this. And the service namespace is Clemens V2. This is running against the lab service. The issuer name is the owner. And the issuer secret of the owner is that secret. And you can go and see the starting. And oops. So what just happened to me here was I wasn't careful enough about my trailing slashes, because they actually matter, so I didn't put them in here, so that's why it failed. So let's go and save that now. And so that's a very important piece. And now I'm going to go and call the service again. Got Clemens V2, owner, paste the, as I did that above, and now I can go and listen. So because owner has listen rights on that namespace. Let's go and let's try Clemens V. So create Clemens V. We have the symmetric key. Let's go and copy that. And let's go and say call the service. Clemens V2 is the namespace as it was before. It's the owner. And now paste that issuer secret, and it's trying to listen, but I can't, so it's going to fail. And what you'll see here is the token provider was unable to provide a security token while accessing HTTPS Clemens v2-sb access control at fabriclabs.com. The token provider returned invalid issuer or signature. So we can't quite go and use that. So there's an authorization issue here. Oh no, wait, I did a mistake. So let's go and try that again. So that was, I said owner, and I gave the wrong keyword, password. So now we're going to see another different error. What that's now going to say is the token provider was unable to provide a security token. The token provider said there was an error issuing a token, error while processing rules for relying party. So there were no output claims generated. What that means is that the password was right and the account was right, so that's the error that I made before, but there were no rules. So that means, in effect, Clemens V has no rights to listen on the Echo servers. Let's go and fix that. What we need to do is we need to go into the rule groups for the Echo service and go in there and add a rule and say, what the access control service, the name identifier, value is Clemens V. So that's the input claim. And then the output claim is a type, net Windows service bus dot action. And the value is listen. Save. So I've now added on net Windows service bus action, I've added, sorry, on this on Echo service, in the rule group, I just add the listen claim for Clemens V. So let's see how that changes and whether that changes things. So let's go and save that. Service, Clemens V2, Clemens V, issuer secret, paste. And now we can listen. Because I now granted myself, granted the Clemens V account, listen rights on that Echo service relying party. So that's kind of the manual mechanism for how you create an overlay over service bus that effectively gives you full fine-grained access control by creating these hierarchies of relying party applications. So that's one way. That's one way how we can do this. Obviously, that's a little tedious. There were a bunch of steps here, and so what we've done is we are trying to make that a little easier. So there's a little tool here called SBAZ tool. SBAZ tool is part of the SDK, so that's up in here. You find this in exploring features in the Service Bus SDK tree under authorization. And SBAZ tool is a little tool, a command line tool that we've built, and that's using the same files as the Microsoft.ServiceBusAccessControl extensions assembly that's also in that same project that is there for you to reuse so you can go and programmatically manage your rules. And effectively what this does is it gives you access to an access control list that you can easily go and manage. So I'm going to show you that tool and how that works. So SBAZ tool, I'm going to just call that. There's a bunch of options that you have. So one of the things is you have this namespace, the namespace name, the namespace key. You didn't see them as I just called this up because there are ways to go and just store options, show options, clear options. You can go and store your options in isolated storage for that little tool, so you don't have to type them all the time. And otherwise, it allows you to go and do all the things that I just did in the system in access control manually. So you can create a new ID. You can also assign the key or have the key assigned. You can show it. You can delete IDs. So these IDs, and then you can go and grant and revoke rights and also show the effective rules on a particular path. So if I go and now go and use the tool and say, show me Echo service, it's going to show me all the rights, on the Echo service proper. Ah, And that doesn't work because I set that up manually. So let's go and try to do that programmatically. So I go into my namespace, and I'm now going to go and make a new ID, because it has a particular, the tool is, and the library set up a set of naming conventions that I didn't follow here. The rule group is still called default rule group for the namespace, so it doesn't find this. So I'm just going to go and create a new ID. I'm going to call this Clemens V. And so now I have created a new ID, so you can go and programmatically create keys and IDs with this. And the library supports that as well. And now I can go and assign rights. So I'm going to say grant Clemens V, grant Clemens V sends on, and now we're going to go back to the namespace sample that we had, ABCDEF. I'm going to go grant send to on ABC/DEF to Clemens V. Let's try that. And then I'm also going to grant listen. And then we can go and see the effects in that namespace. So now we're here. So now let's look at what we have in terms of relying party applications. So now the tool added automatically ABC/DEF. And if you go and look at it, it's exactly the definition that we had. Also, it's automatically setting up the hierarchy. And it's also creating these intermediary rule groups automatically for you. So this is for ABC, but there's nothing in here. And if I go and select it again, and if I go into DEF, you'll see that there are two rules, two granted rules for Clemens V with the right action with the send, right? So all the things that we've done by hand can now be done with the SBAZ tool and with the assembly that's associated. So just briefly, we're going to go and take a look into the tool that's here, into the program. And one good way to figure out how the assembly works is to basically just go and take a look at the operation. So I have grant operation right here, for instance. I create an access control setting, settings. So these are all elements of that library, access control settings. I pass in the namespace, and I pass in the management key. The management key is the management key that can be found on the access control portal under the management service in the service bus tenant management client. That has been renamed for the production version to SB management client because that was a little long. So you're seeing this here just in labs. And so that has a key associated with it, if I go in here, and that's the key we use here. And initially, as we provision the system, that key is in sync with the owner key. So the owner key, the super user key, and this key are the same key. So the library kind of relies on the simplest walkthrough case, relies on those two things being the same. You can certainly change it. You can make them diverge, but you have to tell the library that. So explicitly here. So you tell the access control settings, then you create a new service URI. That's the URI for service bus, for the namespace. And then you go and call get access control list on namespace access control. And namespace access control is just an extension. So if we go and take a look at that and go to the implementation of this, here we go. So there's an extension here for getting an access control list on a URI. What this does now is it interacts with the management service of ACS to go and figure out what are the relying parties in the hierarchy, and it's now adding up all the rules figuring out what the effective rules are. And now I go, so I have this access control list, which is the amalgamated list of all the access control rules that apply for a given node on the namespace. And now I create an create an identity reference. And identity reference, there's several defined, but we're creating a service identity reference, so that's for ACS itself. Just providing the name of the account, like Clemens V or Clemens V2. And then we go and assign the write to the list. So we sent the send write here, save the changes. And so there's a special handling case for listen and the manage writes. And then we basically just go and save the changes. And the reason why it's such a such an if else is just to make sure that people don't make mistakes and we print the proper errors here. So that's really what it's all about. So you can see that code. Using that is fairly simple. So you can also use that programmatically, no problem. So you can put this into your apps. And what you can do is you can create, with the same code, you can create new identities. So let's go and look at create service identity. If you want to create a new service identity, you go and set up the same settings object. You create a new access control service identity just in this way. Sorry. So create it, set a name, save it, and then you basically just can go and print out the key. So it's very simple to create new service identities, and that's the way how you interact with clients that you don't want to give full rights onto Service Bus. You can go and just create throwaway identities that are just there for someone to send one message to an entity on Service Bus, and then you can retire this again. So you can go and create a service identity, set a very, very short lifetime, which you can go and control also for the password, and then go and make that a throwaway identity and just give that out for a very short amount of time that they can use that identity and then add that identity to the rule set, to the access control list as it is realized in this library very easily. So that concludes the lengthy demo. First we went through the portal, and then we also went through the AZ tool experience, and I have another slide that kind of summarizes the operations that you have here: make ID, show ID, delete ID, grant, revoke, and show, and that assembly, and that's kind of the key tools that we give in your hands to go and manage all those things. So the expectation is not that you do it all in the portal, but you have full access. You can do fine tuning of rules on the portal. Over an access control. The important thing to understand is, and that was the goal of the session, is that Service Bus relies on the access control service, and it's automatically federated with ACS. There's an intimate relationship, and the goal of the session was to shed light on that. Every namespace created before 9.15.11 is federated by default with ACS V1, so 9.15 or 9.14, depending on how that all pans out, will be, so when you see this video, this will be the case. By default, we always federate with ACS V2. So you will instantly have for new namespaces this capability. If you already have a namespace and you want to take advantage of this tooling, you must be on ACS V2 already. So you have to first have to go and move your namespace from ACS V1 to ACS V2. And the way how you do this is going to come out as separate guidance. There's going to be documents that we're going to announce. And there's also be some tooling you'll be able to download to go and take existing rule sets, if you already have some, and go and move them over. If you don't have existing rule sets, it's going to be a very simple two-step switchover process that you can go and control yourself when you go and switch over from ACS V1 to V2. There are no changes needed in any of your client code. ACS V1 and ACS V2 have exactly the same kind of protocol endpoints, and we're taking care in that migration process. We're taking care of moving all of your rules and at the minimum your username, your owner, and the keys and all the thing that needs to be moved over from ACS V1 to ACS V2 with that tool. The reason why we do that explicitly is really to give you the ability to go and control when you're going to do that switchover and said that we're not surprised, because we have a lot of people that we know about who have taken advantage of those federation capabilities already with ACSV1 using the management API, so we didn't want to go and do that switch over for anybody automatically. Well, thank you for listening. It was a pleasure to present this to you, and I hope you find this very useful. You can follow me on Twitter on @ClemensV, and of course we have our portal for Service Bus that you can find at under azure.com or microsoft.com/azure. Thank you for listening.